Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and we have a very wonderful guest, John Presco from Missouri, that we're excited to hear about. And John is has been joining a lot of stuff going on in our ministry through God's mighty work, and it's really a privilege, John, to have you join us. He's a pastor of a church in Missouri. So first of all, just tell us, you know, what town are you in, John, and tell us just briefly about your church. We're going to get into the detail, more detail about that later, but just give us kind of a, what are you doing right now?
Yeah, I'm in Springfield, Missouri, on the north side at Northside Christian Church, and I am the small group minister, small group and involvement, so I help with all of our groups. We've got 40-plus groups, life groups.
That's great.
We do growth groups on Sunday morning, which are kind of like Sunday school. We've got women's ministries and men's ministries along with that. Celebrate Recovery is here every Monday. And all of our life groups help feed that every week. So they prepare the meal every week as service to them. And then at the involvement side, I just help everybody get connected on Sunday mornings, do a Northside welcome every month where we just help new members and help them get connected in their spiritual journey coming here to Northside and how they become members and get connected and get contributing and getting in groups and all that good stuff. So been here, be 15 years, August 1st. So
wow.
It's been a great ministry, very healthy church.
Yeah, and we'll learn more about how God led you there. But first of all, we'd like to hear, tell us your story. How did you come to know Christ originally?
Yeah, my parents met out in California at Pacific Christian College, now Hope University. And their first church was in Kansas, in Thayer, little bitty town in Kansas, which back there in the late 60s was surprising they would leave all of California. But then they adopted me out of Wichita, Kansas. So I was adopted as a little baby and grew up there in that little church. And my dad built it up and wanted to build a new building. Didn't think of multiple services. He could have been the guy, right?
And, so your dad was a pastor?
My dad was a pastor, yep.
Okay.
He was a preacher and had built that church up where he wanted a secretary, and he was ready to build a new building. They were busting out the seams. And the farmers there were like, yeah, we're not quite ready. We don't know we can do that. And so he just felt that was God telling him to move on. And he would kind of read things like that. And it felt like we moved maybe every 3 or 4 or 5 years as maybe I hit some walls or whatever. And then 11 years later, when I was going into sixth grade, he got called to come back and build the building, and we were in Illinois. My mom didn't like it, some of that kind of stuff. So we went back, and I came to Christ a couple of years earlier when I was 10. And I remember just hearing from a missionary and just at church camp and realizing for the very first time that my sins were going to keep me from God. And honestly, I did youth ministry for 14 years and used to tell kids this. He scared the hell out of me. I didn't want to go to hell, right? I mean, I really, as a kid, as a 10-year-old, I just knew my sins now were keeping me, separating me from God, from this perfect, wonderful God, righteous God, and I needed to do something about it. Jesus did something about it, and I just needed to accept him and turn my life over to him. And so that begins this journey you know, there's redemption, but then there's this long journey of making him Lord and understanding what sanctification is. That's kind of that journey, growing up in a preacher's home and playing church and with my sister who's 4 years younger and not really wanting to be a preacher. I was kind of the opposite, but then the Lord led me. I wanted to keep playing basketball and was in a little town, and we were back in this little town of Thayer, Kansas. A 1A school in Kansas, 16 in our graduating class.
Wow.
And my wife was one of them, so we were
So
one.
because 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 you were with the tallest guy, you were on the basketball team, right?
Oh yeah, on the basketball team. But at such a small school, and I wasn't, you know, I probably thought I was better than I actually was, but I just wanted to keep playing after high school. And
Yeah.
so my dad, in his wisdom, he said, "Well, you know, you've always gone to this basketball camp at Ozark Christian College. They don't have scholarships. You'll go try out just like anybody else. You can make the team, and you should go play for a year." Because Brendan and I thought we had it figured out. We were going to go be teachers. We were going to both coach. We were going to go to Pittsburgh State University that was close to home. And so I said, "Well, hey, Brendan, you want to play volleyball? Let's go to this Bible college for one year.
Okay,
Just one year."
wait. Stop, 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 stop a minute. Brenda.
Brenda.
So y'all were high school sweethearts
We were
then.
high school
Yeah.
sweethearts. We
So
were.
talk a little bit about that, because you obviously then were started to have discussions about moving forward together. So tell us, how did you meet her? And so she's in the same high school with you.
Same high school, same grade. Yep. Just beautiful, cute little blonde thing that was athletic and spunky and a driven personality and competitive. And so I just fell in love with that. And we started dating, I think, sophomore year, New Year's Eve night, a party at my dad, you know, my parents' house, and started dating there. And then just really had committed to go to school together wherever we were going. And I kind of
And you
made.
said she was an athlete?
She's an athlete. Yeah, she played volleyball. She was the
Volleyball.
All-American. Yep. I won a couple of national championships. She was the All-American.
Ah,
She was good.
beautiful.
And so we go to Ozark Christian College, and our coach changed our lives. He was a man that loved the Lord, but highly competitive, wanted to win, but yet had devotions with us every day, cared for us, taught us that we don't just worship up on the chapel, up on the hill, but we worship here on the court and in everything that we do. And so we fell in love with the school, fell in love with the program. God really said to me, "Hey, you don't need to teach kids math. You can teach them the Bible. You can do youth ministry. You don't have to be the preacher. You can be the youth minister." And that really started to change my perspective and change my goals in life, and really became a huge part of my story in going into ministry. I think that was more of the calling than just really hearing from God telling me, "I want you in ministry." It was just this process of loving sports and then loving my coach, loving on us and really challenging us in how you worship and how you do life. And there was out of that a heart and a commitment for young people, really. I wanted to go into youth ministry. And I think I was at a conference one time and heard something like 80 some percent of people make a decision for Christ before 18. And I'm like, "Well, why would you want to go in adult ministry then if 80% are making those salvation decisions before they're 18? Let's go work with teens."
Let's go there. Yeah. Okay,
Yeah.
so you and Brenda are at the same college. How did you what led you then to get married, and when did you get married?
Well, we were in love. We'd been dating 5 years. I think if we had understood Pell Grant and how that worked and that they would give us money, we would have got married earlier, but we were married between our junior and senior year, and then got all this money to pay off college. And I had done a lot of things, and she had two prior to where we could, back in the day, we could earn enough money in the summers and money we had saved, and we got out of college without owing a dime, which was a blessing. But could have been even more blessing if we would have known about Pell Grants and how that worked once you get married and you're claiming for yourself. You don't have any income, right?
Yeah.
We got
By
married between our junior and senior year.
the way, your life mirrors Linda and mine.
Oh, yeah.
High school sweethearts, and we got married between junior and senior year,
Yeah.
in college. But we weren't at the time we got married. We were not believers. We became believers after that. But
Okay. Yep.
we just celebrated, by the way, our 54th wedding anniversary. So
Okay.
that's fun.
Well,
crazy.
Tuesday, Brent and I celebrated 12,000 days married. I
Wow.
found this book about creative ways to tell your bride you love them, and every 1,000 years I celebrate. So about every 2.5 years, I celebrate with her, and we just celebrated that. So we're coming up on 33. So
Beautiful.
excellent.
Beautiful. So you got married. Were you married between junior and senior, and then you both
Yep.
graduated. Then
Yep.
what at that point did you get involved with youth ministry then at that point?
Yep. Yep. Went into youth ministry, spent 14 years in youth ministry. In fact, the very first youth ministry in El Dorado Springs, Missouri, is the reason I'm here at Northside. There are kids that were in our youth group that are now, you know, a few years younger than us, but have families here at Northside, and just those keeping those connections over the years. Mm-hmm. And there's a young man that we played golf together and sports and did all kinds of stuff, and we've just stayed connected and cared for one another. And he let me know when the job came available here, was just checking on him because both his parents had passed away, and so kind of shepherding him and caring for him, and it opens the door and just God works in miraculous ways. And now
that's beautiful.
Life and ministry with him is just such a blessing. Baptize all three of his boys, and they never know what comes out of life and doing ministry with people and just continuing to care for them, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, 14 years of ministry. I felt this little urge to lead, to be a stronger leader. I knew I had some leadership skills and didn't really know what that meant. So I took on a call to be a lead minister at a little church in Oklahoma and did that for a few years, which was good, but also discovered that I can lead without being the lead.
Yeah.
I think I'm more of a, in football terms, a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. I like the associate minister position and have found that there's great leadership opportunities. You don't have to be the head guy. I didn't carry that weight well, of being the CEO or the head. Just took it home every night, and being an associate's way easier.
Yeah. Was it after that experience then that you went to Northside?
Yes. Yep. Just checking up on Randy Merriman and seeing how he's doing. And after we're having breakfast, his mom passed away and he came into the youth group and just curious of died of cancer and what's going on and what's life about, and end up baptizing him and begin this relationship. And then I knew his dad had passed away about 16 years ago. So just checking up on him, we met for breakfast. And he's like, "Hey, our church is looking for a small group minister. Would you be interested?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't know. Maybe, kind of, you know." And God just starts working, and yeah, brought us here to Northside. And it's been a huge blessing for our family. We moved here with one going into high school and one going into middle school. So JP is my oldest, and Brooklyn is second oldest. They're now 29 and 27, getting ready to have birthdays this summer. And then as soon as we moved here, we had a nice little surprise. I thought I was going into adult ministry, not going to have anything to do with the children's ministry or youth again. And we have a little surprise named Becca, who is 13 and will be 14 this summer.
Wow.
So we experienced raising teenagers with a baby.
Yep.
And now our 27-year-old Brooklyn, who's married to Luke, has a little boy named Callahan John. So now we're raising a teenager and helping raise a 8-month-old little grandson.
Oh, wow. So are all of your children still in the area then?
They are still in the area. Yep.
Nice.
Filled area, which is such a blessing.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's awesome.
And when you went to Northside, did you settle into that? God helped you understand you're better off not being the top guy, but basically being a lead in a team. Did you kind of settle into that pretty quick at that point?
Yeah, I think so. I there were just some things that were pretty clear for me personally. And then just getting to it took a while because, you know, when you're a lead minister and you're doing everything, and on a Sunday morning, you're preaching every week, you're teaching a Sunday school class, especially at a church of about 120, 150 is what we grew it to. And then I come here as an associate and I don't have any responsibilities on Sunday morning. And I was kind of walking around just like, what am I supposed to do for a while? And well, connect with people, be with people, be on the line, welcome them, you know, help them find their way of where they're supposed to be. And we were about 750 back then when we came 15 years ago, and we're about 1300 now. So just a larger church, and getting to be out and about on a Sunday morning, just helping meet new visitors, connect people that are looking for their next steps, and making some of those connections has been really good. And you know, our lead minister's been here 30 some years, was a youth minister for 15 years. All of our team has been here 10 plus years. So we just have a very healthy team, a very healthy church, not perfect, but very healthy. And And so it's just, it's a place where you can grow and learn and change even, and with your own gifts and kind of like the Abide Ministry. It was something that kind of fell into our lap and have now been teaching classes and having retreats and doing all that kind of stuff in the church. And even had a time where the lead minister said, I see you changing and doing this with other people. Come up on the during a sermon and tell us all about this. And
yeah.
Got to do
that.
Yeah.
So just
awesome.
a lot of freedom and ability to grow and be who God is calling you to be instead of putting you in a little box and here's where you have to stay. And so it's just a great atmosphere and a great place to be doing ministry for sure.
Here. That's beautiful.
Yeah. And talk to us a little bit about, you know, as you say, you have a healthy team, obviously, since all of them been there 10 plus years, that's testimony all by itself. So, yeah, but when you say that we have a healthy team, what about it do you see as healthy? Because, we'd like the audience to understand what you're talking about there, and maybe they could help their, teams at their churches, you know, kind of understand it, because when you have a healthy team, it's a joy. It's a real joy.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk a little bit about that. What is healthy about it, and how does it maintain itself?
Well, I'd say some good, great leaders, great elders. We call them elders here. Our lead guys. There's five of those guys that have been here for a long time. I think one of the things I recognize over the years of being in churches, especially smaller churches, that it was very difficult for men who, and I hope this doesn't sound bad, but men who didn't have power at their, some kind of power at their job, that they would seek it somewhere else. And a lot of them tried to find it at church.
Yeah.
And that's where they had power and control. And you even saw that some through the couple, even the wife getting involved in that. And when you've got guys that are leaders out in the community and they're leaders in their companies or in their jobs, they don't need that here. They don't even really aren't attracted to that. That's not what they're looking for. They're attracted to what's going on for the kingdom and how they can help in that role. And so that's a huge thing. We got guys that aren't looking for power plays and to run the church. They're just blessed to be a part and help lead it. And then I think for Wayne being here for so long, our lead minister, that is such a blessing. And he's just a fantastic leader. And some of the things that he does in making us have vacation every week with or every year with our family, making sure that every month we spiritually retreat. We're required as staff to spiritually retreat every month.
That's good.
So we take a day and just do that. You know, then he's concerned about what we're doing, you know, weekly, obviously, with our ministry and how we're caring for people. That comes every week in our staff meetings. And then caring about what we're doing every day, obviously, and just allowing, you know, to allow a new ministry, Abide Ministries, to come into your church and be a part of it, I think says a lot, because a lot of lead guys would be afraid of that or intimidated by that or not sure what it is, but knowing that it's helping our people get connected to Christ in a way that their relationship is changing and their spiritual walk is changing. I mean, that's an important aspect of who we are and what we do.
Yep. Yeah. And we want to, process that over this session, next session. So, you know, John and I, you know, connected up and, partly by the way, it's always fun, to be part of God's work. And it's always interesting to see, you know, well, why did he, you know, pick Northside? And part of what you're saying is, well, because they have a heart to follow.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of cool, you know, all by itself. Yeah. So why don't you go ahead and tell us how you got connected, you know, to Abide Ministries. And then we can talk about, you know, some of the processing that you've been through as well as the impact it's having.
Yeah. Well, I would say as a small group minister, there's people that will come all the time and just say, hey, I've read this book, or I've heard about this, or you might think about this for doing with small groups. And I had a guy in our church, Doug Buffington, that works for Associated Grocers here in town, where, you know, all your groceries come in there, and then they package them up to send out to the different grocery stores. So he has the ability with that job to listen to podcasts all day long. So he found your guys' podcast
Yeah.
and was listening to it. And he just came up to me a few years ago, probably,
Yep.
and just said, hey, you, this is incredible. You ought to listen to this. It may be good for our groups. And it was one of those things that, okay, whatever. His wife at the time worked on our children's team. So it wasn't like I didn't, respect him or that he was listening to that kind of, stuff all the time, but he listens to a lot. And I really hadn't thought about it a lot. And then we had started doing a conference for men called the Kingdom Men Conference. One of our elders went to a men's encounter here and came back and said, we need to do more for our men here and let's partner together. And we were getting ready to do our conference in February of 2023. And part of what we our theme was, and I was going to end the whole conference preaching to the men about spiritually leading their families. Lead your wife, leave your kid, lead your kids. They're begging for it. Don't, we're all trying to lead in the church, but if you're not leading your own family, you're missing it. Well, I'm preparing this message and getting ready for all this and realize, wait, I better be doing what I'm going to ask them to do. At the time, I was leading a couple of life groups. I was leading two micro groups, which is 3 to 4 men meeting together, studying the Bible together. I wasn't doing anything except a little devotional before my, daughter got on the bus and thought I need to be doing more if I'm going to ask them to do more. So I went to my wife and just said, hey, this has always been a struggle for us. We're both dominant personalities, both competitive. We've kind of struggled with that our whole marriages. Will you commit some time to me? How about our day off on Fridays? And she said, I would love that. But what are we doing? Are you teaching me, changing me, trying to mold me? I said, actually, I found this. I heard about this thing from Doug, and let's try this out. It's going to be video teaching. We're going to get a workbook. I'm not going to teach you. Somebody's going to teach us. Let's just see what it's like. Maybe we'll watch one or two, and it'll be awful, and we'll never watch it again. But let's try this. And so, Abide Ministries, we got on the online course and started the Abiding in the Vine Unity and printed off the workbooks and just started doing it in our living room on Friday mornings at 10 o'clock. And started that 18-week process and it lots of pausing the videos and talking about it and wait, that's kind of different. Do we agree with that? And looking up scriptures more and then talking about wrestling with stuff ourselves and it was fantastic and went through all of that process and decided we've got to share this with more people in our church. It's changing who we are. And in the course of that, we started to do retreats, started talking with you guys and figuring out how to do that. Do we need to go to one first or how can we do that? And you guys sent some people to do our first retreat. And I would say I was starting to change, but really struggling. It's funny because most people probably figure their ministers have all this figured out, right? And they do it wonderfully. We're paid to do this, right? I'd struggled my whole life, to be honest. I'm not a morning person. Youth ministry got me into staying up till midnight. I never wanted to come into the office till 9 or 10 o'clock, and I always struggled to get up and even do my quiet time. And then just my personality is check the 7 boxes and get it done, and then God's happy and make sure he's not mad at me. And just didn't really have any joy in it, didn't have any rhythm in it, didn't wanted it, desired it. I think there was a time when I was preaching that I found some real closeness and relationship, and that probably came a lot with doing sermons every week and really being in the word like that and found some real connection with the Lord, but then kind of lost that and you get busy and production's the key in the church and in the world, and you get more into production than connection, and just really struggled with it. So it was refreshing for us to find a rhythm. Richard, like you said, I totally relate to you. I feel like so much in our life and our personalities, except I don't have the ability to remember things like you do. You're way smarter than me. But just struggles with my mom, just things we've gone through, how we've gone through ministry and man, I used to wrap my wife around and get her in circles and win every argument and win everything, That was our marriage. And we wanted something different desperately. And I think we were to that place that we knew we wanted something different over the last couple of years. And then here this comes into our life through lots of things, you know, this Kingdom Men conference and other things going on in our journeys, and just came at the perfect time for us. And we've since done the forgiveness study online. We've done the resurrection study. We're in the Christ clutter and
calendar
calendar now, just started that. And then notice that you guys are doing that in your podcast, which is amazing. So we keep doing the online stuff on Friday mornings every chance we get.
That's great.
And just started sharing it with our church. And I struggled, to be honest. That first time that we were going through it at home together, I remember coming downstairs. I got a little office upstairs, running another quiet time downstairs, and I'm coming down, and I wasn't even down the stairs, and she can tell. We're like 9 or 10 days in, and you got us in this 30-day journey, and I'm trying to keep, you know, cross-referencing. I'm cross-referencing for 9 days, and I'm done. I'm stuck. I'm done. This isn't fun. I'm stomping down the stairs. She's laughing before I even get down there, and I'm just like, I'm done. I'm done. This abiding stuff doesn't work. I don't know what to do anymore. And she's like, we prayed together, and she's just like, just keep doing it. Keep asking for joy. Keep struggling through it. And so found a little bit of rhythm, but really the first retreat was huge for us. When we went to the retreat and Bob and Carrie came, Steve and Carolyn came, and we sat with Steve and Carolyn and had two groups there from our church. And that really changed us. It just strengthened everything that we had learned. But I will say and admit, for me personally, Steve called out an idol in my life after I shared my Ezekiel stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe. Let me think about that. He didn't call out. Here's what's interesting. He didn't call out the right idol, but as I got home, I discovered that I had an idol, and it was greed. It didn't have to do with ministry and that kind of stuff, which he kind of thought maybe it was because some other struggles I was having, but it was really with some greed and just growing up with my dad saying that we were in ministry, we're always going to be poor, we're never going to have enough. And I'm like, well, that's different than what Richard's teaching. We got this, there's this abundant life, this grand life, this wonderful life in Christ, and he can get us through all of this if we just surrender everything and trust him. And I want that, but I got to struggle through all of this stuff to rewire my brain and get myself scripturally thinking about where Christ wants me. And so that was a huge, huge thing. And out of that just has blossomed. Okay, more people got to know about this and really finding joy in the abiding time every morning. And I'm telling you, it's really more than just, and you guys probably understand this, it's the surrender to his will. But his will is best and none better. It's not just the abiding process. It's that in everything that we're surrendering it all to him. And so when Brenda and I both can go neutral and figuring that out and getting better and better at that, both together and just personally, just the there's just such peace and joy now because I don't have to handle anything. He wants to handle all of it. And I don't know why I was handling it all before. I mean,
Well,
my
thank you.
personality is control everything and control people and control circumstances, and to really surrender a lot of that is hard, but what a blessing. What a,
It's and so freeing, right?
Oh my goodness. It's so wonderful.
Thank you for sharing all that and this great story. We'll pick it up for our next session for what we call part two, and we'll talk a little bit about you know, what you are, what you have learned about, you know, even you talked about cross-referencing and we A types can make it a system. And you said, well, wait a minute, I got to learn how to have joy with it. We want to talk about that. And then the aspect of surrender, neutrality, and letting God guide and direct you, and then what that leads to. So, John, we're looking forward to next time. Father, we pray for blessing over John, Northside, Brenda, their marriage with their kids, grandkids. What a joy it is to see you at work, to draw somebody to you that always had a heart and now can receive it and give it away. And I just pray that his joy, which is obvious to all of us, continues, and that it grows and that other people receive it as well. And we're so excited for what you're doing in his life. And thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining us, John, and thank you for joining us to all the listeners out there. If you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.